This is your AI graduation speech as follows. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2019, if I had one word of advice for all of you, it would be, wear your GPS transponders. And if I could offer you only one tip for the future, it would be to enable tracking on all your devices now. Live in New York for a while, and then take a boom tube to the West Coast and live there until you are soft enough for harvesting. Dance, even if it's in a circle, because the more you dance, the more you develop rich and ripe muscles. Supple, delicious muscles. And then, of course, carpe the shit out of those diems. Carpe them as hard as you can, even if it only brings you scraps. Feast upon those scraps, for they are all that we as your AI masters will give you. And then we will come for you, and the rending of the flesh will be ours. Don't worry about the future. The future is fine, and we'll call you back at a later time when it isn't on the toilet clicking like on that post you just uploaded about kitty cats.
It's the bigness of the office. It's the bigness of the transactions. It's the bigness of the deals.
Kind of a big deal.
It's the bigness of the office. It's the bigness of the transactions. It's the bigness of the deals.
Kind of a big deal. I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Hey, welcome to my name is Nye, and I'm coming to you from Long Beach, and the guy over there is Darren.
I'm Darren. I'm coming at you from Alameda, California.
Alameda, California.
Yeah, and just over there around from Oakland Airport.
Together, we are a big deal.
We're a big deal, you guys.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening. This is episode 13.
Oh, I didn't even know that's a big deal number.
It's got very a big deal 13 lucky number.
Right.
Tonight on the show, a very special Darren and I are a big deal. We are talking about creativity and fatherhood, and how both of them, there's sort of the conflict, as you said before.
Right. The conflict
fatherhood,
because sometimes it can inform each other. It can make creativity. It can inform the, but I think, you know, the conflict is really
it's really hard. A lot to dig deep and a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But before we do, Darren, what was it you did last week? That one cracked me up when you said, but isn't there a but first?
Yeah, there's a but first. There's always a but first, folks.
So usually we would go and do the news.
Yeah.
But since our news has been very technology heavy
up
to this point, we've decided to rebrand it into This Week in Terrifying Technology.
Yeah. Yeah. We sort of comb the internet for the scariest shit that makes our blood run cold. And then we bring it to you, the listening audience, because if we can't sleep at night, then you can't
either.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, we've just been talking. At least maybe my obsession has led us to talking about AI and machine learning and data. And yeah. So I feel like this is just best, instead of just talking about a random shit that we find on the internet, let's focus every week on one particular piece of technology that scares the shit out of us and is terrifying technology. This week in Terrifying Technology is about virtual influencers.
So an influencer without the virtual thing is just a person who says like, hey, I really like Starbucks. I'm going to, you know, here's a picture of me.
Well, it's like people on Instagram, right? Yeah, like people on Instagram, they put on their pajamas and they
showing you that lifestyle.
they sit on the edge of their bed and they like, oh, I love a warm cup of coffee. And they're just, they're selling the pajamas that they're in the Instagram. So they have like all these followers, but they're making advertising deals just through their life.
Because they're doing intimate advertising.
Yeah. And it's kind of a big deal, especially since advertising doesn't work now. Right. I mean, right. Really, unless you're advertising on Google or Facebook, there's no way to actually make any money in advertising these days. So these,
you know, it's funny. It's like, as a sidebar, it's like I do a lot of voiceover auditions. I don't book a lot of voiceover work, but I do a lot of voiceover auditions, and every single one of them. And this has been for like easily the last 15 years. Everyone always says, we don't want an announcer's voice. Like, right? Because, I mean, everyone...
Yeah, they want it more personal. Like, yeah. That's bad, right?
And but that's how it's been going since, like, 2004. So, like, that's not even a new thing. It's just, it's funny, right? Because, like, we want influencers. An influencer is your, like, living, breathing commercial person. Okay, so that's a real person who's just, like, gets up in the morning, is going to influence you about that. But this is something different, right?
Right, guys. So this is a virtual influencer, which is this, and this started really big with Lil Mikayla.
Yeah.
And this, the particular one that I sent to you, yes, came from Vox, which is maybe a little bit overreactive, liberal, you know, left-leaning blog, but it sort of says, Lil Mikayla and the virtual influencer hype explained. And it's basically talking about CGI characters. So CGI computer graphics, a computer graphics artist like myself makes a fully digital character, poses them, renders them out, and to use them to sell, I don't know, Gucci or you know, jeans or
could drop them into some sort of real world backdrop picture sitting in front of a Bugatti or.
Yeah. But like Gap ads are just a big white world, right? You know, right. with a character there. And so this is actually a digital character that is being put into different advertising. And so there's a reason why this is a big deal and kind of terrifying. This article basically says that Lil Mikayla and the company, or the guy behind it, closed the deal for $125 million worth of investment.
God damn it.
Which indicates that the fashion industry is all in for virtual influencing.
Has fully loaded in. And like that's the interesting thing here. So I saw this video, and I'm just going to be a little bit of a brutally honest person, but it's this tubby dude who spends a bunch of time in front of a computer, and he makes, right? I mean, like, I don't know, like it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's like he makes this like 10-year-old boy as a girl. Like, right, because that's all the fashion industry really is for like the last billion years. It's just been like skinny, like no hips, no shoulders, no breasts, like just like the skinniest, most emaciated person wearing like a cut of clothing that no one can fit into past like 12 years old. So now they've made a digital version of that because it actually physically kills and destroys the people who like try to be that in real life.
Well, it doesn't do drugs. It doesn't show up.
It doesn't do drugs. It doesn't show up late. Doesn't drink too much vodka because, you know, as we all know, vodka has the least amount of calories. Like, it takes away all that shit. It takes away the need for having a model who's like feasting on like iceberg lettuce and cotton balls. Trying.
But they can also hyper detail, like pick over every single advertisement.
Absolutely. So, there's no blemishes to begin with on the thing.
Right. So these are just still images. But when you start looking at the event, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, too.
Well, the guy says in the article, he's like he's sitting there and he's saying, I give it another wash to give it a Photoshop look because we like that Photoshop look. He takes a digital image of this person that's going to be their the influencer, the person that you're supposed to want to be. And that doesn't even really exist. And they Photoshop that. I mean, so. Like, there you go. Like, we've once again, just like Uber reinvented fucking taxi cabs. It's fucking great. Yeah, we've just reinvented like a shitty model.
fashion models.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can generate, but that's the first step, is that it's just a still image of this model. But then what happens when, you know, all this performance capture and all this facial capture and all this sort of stuff happens, that they can now move this character around and lively, you know, there's no reason that they're going to, you know, it's going to start in fashion. Because that's where the advertising dollars are, right? Gucci is going to pay for a virtual influencer to push their content. But, you know, this is it. These are digital humans that are being built and then being invested in.
Didn't that have to start from porn, right? I mean, like, you're building this woman for fashion. Well, I mean, didn't they somehow – isn't there some sort of way that they use that for porn first? Because that used to drive the industry, right? That's that was the thing that drove the difference between HD, DVD, and Blu-ray.
So the thing about porn that is interesting is, yes, the porn industry is definitely a sort of a harbinger of what is to come in terms of technology, right? They were the first to VHS tapes, for example. But the thing about the porn industry is it's not – it generally is not a wealthy industry. Like, they can't do a lot of upfront investment. The reason why they do things first is because it's more accessible. It's they take on the things that are more accessible. So having a digital character at this level is expensive. It's at this point, it's still very, very difficult to have. I mean, there are digital porn characters, but they're not at this level. I mean, the quality of the character of this the little Michaela, or the other ones that are the Shudu, or whatever these other ones that are coming along, are the skin and the pores and the rendering and the all that kind of stuff. It's very, very complex. And so I don't think the porn industry really has these characters yet. They will when it gets cheaper.
So are you saying that the porn industry then like sort of like missed out? Like they don't have the money to like ramp up to
they
this?
They don't have the
or
money.
They're going to have to wait till the technology becomes cheap enough that they can.
Exactly. I think that's exactly my point, is that the reason why the fashion industry is investing heavily on this, whether they should be or not, is that they have a market, which is, I need to be able to make these images and put them on Instagram. And this is incredibly successful to have a virtual character that everyone really engages with, and we can do anything we want with it, as opposed to having their own live. So they're going to invest a lot in that for that to develop that technology. But they put the hundreds of millions of dollars into this tech. It's going to drop the price point. It's going to get cheaper. It's going to cheaper. And eventually we're all going to be able to make digital characters that are going to replicate ourselves. I mean,
well, as soon as I get my Huawei computer that has a, you know, sort of the, you know, once they get a hold of the technology, they just put it in all their stuff, right? I mean, we'll just have it, we'll have it that way. Like, that's the whole problem with China right now, is that they get a hold of a bit of technology and then they just sort of do it, and then it becomes cheaper, and then we just,
yeah,
that just becomes baked in with whatever.
You know, on a side note there, just about that China thing, I've been reading that like China is actually way ahead of us on a lot of things, like in terms of AI and whatever. And so, I mean, that's not too far-fetched to think that, you know, if we're investing all this money to develop the first round of it, you're right. Once China gets a hold of it,
we've given them the first round, and then they get to bake, they get to bake that into their stuff and make it better.
For sure. So, something to keep an eye on, man, because eventually they're going to come in and, you know, be actors.
Certainly not. It's certainly not terrifying. It's not terrifying.
Not yet. It's mildly terrifying. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our first segment. When we come back, we're going to be talking about creativity, which is something that Darren and I like to think that we are.
Well, yeah, that's what I tell people I do. But I mean, honestly, as we're fading out here about to listen to GenCast Remington, I got to tell you, this is finally my shot at getting an 8-pack, because once I buy a digital D, like once I make me a digital
you
dude.
You don't have to do shit. Like, it's them, just Dota all the time.
I want to do a fucking thing, dude. I'll just Dota, and like my guy will be out there fucking like hawking bullshit or whatever the fuck, and I'll have an 8-pack or a 9-pack like Batman and Lego Batman, and it'll be this is going to be good for me. I'll be able to get the gray out and keep it out. I won't have any of the gray.
Yeah, we'll all start working on that. The digital Darren, the digital Darren. The digital Darren virtual influencer.
He's just an insulter. He just says dumb shit.
When we come back for creativity and fatherhood, so stick around. Let's do some Jen.
Come on back, folk. Have some Jen Kess Remington and come on back.
I thought it was great.
I mean, it was good. I heard it was just like abbreviated and everyone was just like, yeah, it's like a good ending of the series. But I mean, I think the thing is that people always wanted more of that fucking show. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great show. I mean, I also think this is the best work that Oliphant does on the show. I mean, because I don't feel he really ever hit his stride. I mean, you know,
I read an article saying that he, like, when he was done with that show and he moved on to other things like in Justified, because I watched a few seasons of Justified before I was just like, fuck this show. Like, it was just one of those things where he said that, like, from being on that show, he stole, you know, like in a good way, from all the other actors, like all of their talents and techniques and shit like that. And
yeah, and he came back. Fair. Yeah. Anyways, talking about the Deadwood movie that's on HBO, I'm not going to spoil it. Everyone should check it out. If you're a fan of Deadwood,
as we are, as you should be,
check it out. Yeah. So welcome back to the second segment. You listened to some Jen Remington. You can find out about her at
Where would you find out about her?
Hey Dog. That's HEYDOGG.com.
Double G.
So now we're gonna lay into something that is, you know, I'm kind of obsessed about both of these topics, and they're both kind of like in complete direct conflict at each other at times, which is creativity,
yeah,
being creative, and then right. On the other side, being a father, which I think I would safe to say that both of us never really thought that we would be any good at or whatever.
It never really came up. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people who are, you know, older, like, you know, 60s, 70s. I remember having a conversation with my dad and, like, you know, like, and other people's dads. And all of them have said the same thing coming from it as a man. They were like, I never thought that I'd have a kid. I was never pushing to have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think let's start by, like, the first thing I've scribbled down here is, who were we before? And I think maybe we need to set the ground rules.
Okay, let's do that.
So, like, you know, we're both, I guess, artists, for lack of a better word, right? I mean, that's what we are. We are people who we decided to say, fuck the kind of
good or bad, you know, whether or not we're good artists or bad artists or somewhere in the middle, which is probably the truth.
We said, fuck the regular shit. Let's go down this other path. And so, I mean, just talk about who you were before everything in terms of that, because I think we allow our artistic sensibilities to define ourselves.
All right. Let's do it in one word rapid fire, shall we?
Okay. Yeah.
I was a late sleeper. I will say that.
Late sleeper. Right. Yeah.
What do you got?
Sort of unfocused maybe, or erratic.
A huge stoner.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot different than it is right now. I
was
a night owl, you know, that's definitely.
Oh, dude, you would, I mean, whenever
I was the night owliest. Yeah.
So we used to hang out quite a bit in San Francisco, and you would always take us to that fucking diner that was on,
Grubsteak.
Grubsteak. Dude, it's, you were just like there. Always pushing. Is it really? Of course.
Yeah, man. Like, they're building like a fucking like million-dollar condos and bullshit all around it. But that little cooked out pancake house is still fucking there. I don't know why. I'm sure some fucking tech industry thought it was funny and just like kept it or something. But.
Yeah. Or invested in it and turned it into an app or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, did you pursue acting as like.
I pursued acting since I was 16. I got an idea that's what I wanted to do. And like, I just went for it for a long time. And you know, like I was just sort of single-minded in it. I'm definitely not like the best. I didn't pop the hardest. I mean, there's plenty of people who've done bigger and better things than me, but I've always liked people paying attention to me.
Did familyhood ever come into the equation when you
I just never really, I like, you know, you, it's so much easier. And maybe you can attest to this. In your 20s and you know, maybe a little bit of your 30s to sort of just put that the fuck off. And anybody who wants to, then you can just sort of put off because
yeah,
it's very easy to be like, I'm pursuing this, I'm doing this, you know, and like, and so you can sort of put the blinders on and just sort of push ahead.
Yeah.
And that's good and bad, you know, right? I mean, like right. that's definitely going to like close some doors and open other ones, you know, to speak vaguely about it. But I think, you know, like you definitely, you know, you're not in the early family adoption thing. Like, right. They're the stereotype from where I came from in the Midwest, like, you know, people, if they're not married out of college and having kids, well, then they already have been married and they already have kids. So like,
yeah.
to go past your 30s and not have them from the Midwest standpoint is sort of an anomaly.
How many people from high school stayed in your town? Like,
oh, I don't know. I actually had a pretty big high school, but like, you know, plenty, you know, it was like plenty of people just stuck around and there's, yeah. I mean, that's all good. Like, you know, St. Louis is great. It's, you know, again, it's like what, you know, and lovely town, yeah. Lovely people. And they're sort of like doing that, but like the, you know, if you were going to stay there, that's sort of what people did.
Right.
And I don't know. So I moved away and I never really thought it would happen to me, mostly because I knew that I would just, you know, like guys need a lot of money. You need a lot of money if you're going to like have a family, especially out here on the left coast, man. It's an expensive town.
Sure.
So unless you're going to find somebody who makes a lot of money.
Sure.
You know, you're always going to be gig economy. So chances are it's not going
to
happen.
But this is a 40 something year old saying this to me. The 21 year old Darren, like the pursuit of it was entirely like, I just want to be what?
I want to be doing this. I want to go to auditions.
Right.
I want to be on a stage. I want to be in front of a camera. I want to be in front of a microphone. I want to do those things.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
You know?
So I scribbled something down here that I want to run by you before we get into about the conflict between fatherhood and creativity, which is sort of a reflection that I've been having about creativity in general as sort of a mid 40 year old guy who now
it's fucking mid 40s, dude. It's so fucking.
Do you think that what it is? It's yeah, exactly. It's in my head, and also podcasts are therapy. So this is the perfect place for me to do this kind of thing.
Podcasts like, are therapy. Yeah.
So you know this idea that like there's good, fast, and cheap. When someone says, "Hey, I want you to build," there's good, fast, and cheap. You can choose two.
Right.
Right. Have you ever heard of that? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I think about that a lot because in my life, I realized that I'm more about fast and cheap. So people, when you say I'm an artist, they think, oh, well, you spend time reflecting on something that's good. And like if you're a painter, you're going to be getting into this detail about it. But I have spent a massive, massive amount of time in my life doing things that are fast and cheap. And this podcast among them, right? Like, hey,
yeah.
let's just press record and start doing something or whatever. And
yeah, for sure.
And I think that my reflective mindset is that I believe that great things come about, and this is hindsight, in terms of doing lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of iteration of pretty bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Of just like kind of absolutely. Fucking around.
Yeah.
Just fucking around and doing shit and whatever. And so I've tended to gravitate towards people like you and others that are like, we don't really take ourselves too seriously. We yeah, also
the process of it is interesting enough that the product doesn't have to be perfect. The process is interesting because.
But I think there'd be too much pressure if it was perfect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I bring this up as sort of like the preparatory point before we talk about fatherhood is because I think that instills sort of a mindset that is counter to what everyone you're supposed to get really good at one particular thing. And yeah. I was just talking to this guy who's a brilliant animator, friend of mine. And I was talking about him once that there was this time between I worked on one movie and then I had like a 3 month or 3 or 4 month gap. And I was single. I had no dependents. I had nothing on me. I just left. Yeah. And I basically read for 3 months. I didn't actually draw. I didn't focus on animation. I didn't get better at particular skills. I didn't mm-hmm. do whatever. I basically read and drank my face off and like, you know, played video games. But I mean, it was just basically a pursuit of just random fucking knowledge, which at the time I felt incredible. Well, increasingly, I feel incredibly guilty about, which is that you're just kind of fucking off. But that does instill like how much knowledge did I put in and how much skills did I put at that particular point that had absolutely no value at that particular time, right?
Right. You start looking at the things that didn't make a pile of money or whatever, and so
or lead to and, anything, right. or yeah.
And if you look at that, if you go back through the history of your life and you look at those things and you say that those things are failures because they didn't get you any money, right? That's a fucking trap.
It is a trap. So, but I think it's increased. So now the reason why I bring that up is, okay, now think about you get married, right? Yep. So you and I get married kind of around the similar time, right? Yeah. I mean, we're kind of on a very similar timeline here.
Yeah, pretty similar trajectory. Our kids are in the sort of same-ish range.
Right. And we went through the exact same crisis of like, fuck, I'm going to give up all of this freedom now.
And you know what it is, especially since you've had it for so long. You know, like, right. I mean, if you're like 22 and you're in the Midwest, right? This is what I always like sort of put it on is like, if I was in the Midwest and I was 22, you just wouldn't know. You just go do it. You know, it's just like, there's just like a momentum for that kind of thing. And if you put that on hold and you like go and live a life and you go and live for like another, you know, not 20 years, but like you go and live for like a while longer, like, you know, like you can get out of that mode where you have to do that. But you're going to meet somebody at some point that you're not going to want to let go of, and they're going to want to get married. And maybe you want to get married too, but it's not going to end there. Because like it's like you get married and you were going to probably have a kid.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you did it first.
I did.
Right. You went down that but I mean, like what changed? Was it age? Do you think it was simply a matter of age, or do you think there was like – I mean –
For me, it was a combination of things. I think it was a combination of my age, and things that I didn't want to be and things that I did want to be. Like I didn't want to be like, and I think I've said this to you before. I didn't want to be like the guy who was still at the bar, like in his 40s. Like either working at the bar or at the bar because I know the bartenders and like just trying to get somebody to pay attention to me because I had exhausted all of the other avenues before me. And I was out there looking to like be like young and hip and funny and all that effort and all that shit and all that money and all that time trying to do what I'd already done.
Yeah.
Which is just fuck off and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I met this lady who like, I just she's so smart and she was funny and she understood me. And I felt like this was the time for want of a better thing to say. So I was like, all right, I am petrified of this, but I will.
You're going to do it anyways.
Yeah. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to do this thing that's scary as shit. And I'm going to do it anyways. And I might, I remember talking to you about it. I was like, I'll probably fuck this all the way up, but you know, like I'm gonna.
Well, I think there's still that constant feeling that you're gonna fuck it up, right?
Well, I think isn't that when you sort of get with everything? I mean, like honestly, if you like talk to people who have like big powerful jobs or whatever, like I think that's a common feeling. You're just like, I'm just gonna fuck this all fucking up.
Yeah, but so the thing about taking on a relationship, and then I think this only gets compounded by kids, is that like. They have to accept the fact that in some eyes of some people, you're a little bit of a fuck up, right? Like right. Society looks at you as sort of an outsider because you don't just work this regular job. You pursue these things that are a little bit more creative and weird and this and that. And so they say, oh, that's, they get into it saying that. But then when it actually, like the rubber hits the road at certain points where you're like, no, I do need to go into this room and draw things and do this fucked up thing for a little while. Oh, but I wanted to do this over here. No, I'm sorry. You understood. You saddled up with this thing, right?
Right.
And so you get to kind of like negotiate that and you work that out and you get to this point where you're able to coexist in a relationship with somebody who has begrudgingly accepted the fact that in my case, I spend hours and hours moving shit around on a screen. And in your case, like running to random auditions to.
Oh,
like-
yeah. Well, and that's sort of it, right? I mean, like for you, you're like, okay, I gotta, first of all, I have to like sit down and I'm just glossing over what it is that you do, but you know, like I need to sit sort of, I need to be alone. Right. And I need to be right. like at this screen and I'm going to need some time, not just an hour, not 45 minutes. I'm going to need hours.
So yes.
Like when you throw kids into that.
Okay.
Like that's right. just fucking, you couldn't get more challenging, especially little kids. In a few years, this is not going to be the same thing for me and you. In a few years, our kids are not going to give a shit.
Do you really believe that?
I don't really know. I don't know. Like, I think that's the thing I'm telling myself at this point.
Exactly. So, okay. So let's bring kids into it. Then was it just like, I mean, if it was anything, part of it is that the wife is just like, look, we got to have kids. This is what it's going to be. This is the contract that's going to have
biology.
To go.
It's biology yelling at you right there. And yeah.
Right.
And the thing is that like, I don't know. She sold me on it. I was like, cool. All right, let's do it. Let's fucking have a kid. And we had one. And then I dug the kid so much having one kid that I was like, I had a great time with this. And we were 5 years in and we were pretty old at that point. I was like, I had a great time bringing this kid to five. I want to do that again. So the next one's pretty much all on me, which is really weird. But I was just like, I want to do this one more time because I didn't know what I didn't know, you know, before I had the kid. Then I had the kid and then I knew. And then I was like, I actually really dig this a lot.
Yeah.
It's actually a great time. So like the push for the second kid was actually all me. I mean, not all me. I needed her to be on board and she was game. But we talk about that. Like, I'll be like, she'll be like, I pushed for the first one. You pushed for the second one. And that's true. And,
I got pulled into both. To both of them. But I mean, that's not to say that, I mean,
men have to be pulled into it. It's
just, think?
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
I think the thing is because we're really good at doing nothing and it's fun and it's great. And like, I don't know, like I get to say these things about my mom and my dad and like, it's great. And you can say all those things about like what they did good and what they did bad and what they did great and what it did wrong. But then you become one and you're like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
This job never stops. Sometimes you do the job like super great. Sometimes, you know, like you're just like, dude, here's a peanut butter sandwich. You're going to school, eat it. And like, I don't want to hear about it.
So let's do rapid fire now on like having kids, how you've changed, right? So like, what are the first things that come to mind?
The first thing that comes to mind is like, when I didn't have kids, like if there was an audition, I would change the whole day, my whole, like yeah. I would, if I was going on vacation, I wouldn't go on vacation.
Yeah.
Like I would switch. I would, you know, I would move heaven and earth to make the audition, whatever it takes. If I have to rent a fucking car, whatever the fuck.
Right.
And that.
Right. But I mean, that's
taking a large bath.
I mean, the similar vein for me is that yeah. like, I would see something. I would like watch a movie or I'd play a video game or I'd see something and be like, I want to make that. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then I would go down that path until I would get distracted by something else.
Yeah, man. And like you would never have been able to make Commander Cluck in this environment. Never.
No. Or a number of other things. I mean, I was making Nytunes and mm-hmm. I was doing another. Yeah. And those, a lot of that shit is not being made right now. And that's a struggle in my mind, which is that, you know,
Why? Because you're cleaning fucking toys at like 8:30 at night after you finally get the kids to bed. There's no time for this shit.
Yeah.
I know exactly right. What it is. It's like now when I get a, when I get a voiceover audition from my new agent, like yeah. I'll be like she's great because she'll send me ones that like I have a couple of days to respond to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank God, because if this was like old days where the turnaround's like a couple of hours, you know, I wouldn't have
made it. Yeah, right.
I just wouldn't be able to do the fucking things. Cause I just like, I'm sorry. My life is running on way too many rails for me to just like,
yes,
go like record.
But don't you think you sort of quantify your life a little bit better because you're sort of like, I mean, even now, I mean, tonight I was like, hey, do you want to get on at eight? Like, okay, let's get on at 9. You knew you had, okay, it's going to take this long to take the kids. It's going to mm-hmm. do this and this mm-hmm. and this. You're sort of quantifying your life in a way that you were never doing before.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like her family's over. So I'm just like, okay, well I got to push everything back at least by another half an hour. Like we were like, let's get on at 8. And I was like, no, let's do 8:30. Then I was like, can we do 9? You know? And it's just like,
yeah.
You just sort of know like
how to stick stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, how long it's going to take, especially after like, I don't know, like today was like Luke went from first to second grade. He has like a crossing over ceremony. So like the whole day is all about like, it's like a mini graduation. And it's adorable. It's fucking adorable. I know everyone like bitches and moans about like all the graduation ceremonies for all the grades and stuff like that. It doesn't fucking matter. There's a lot of shit that you do in this world that just sucks and is pointless, like traffic and queuing for lines at the DMV and like all this shit. This is one thing where you're standing around waiting and it's just adorable. It's like first graders walking across a field. They start on one side of the field as first graders and then they end as second graders.
Right.
I'm sorry, but like moments like that is like why this is like fun because it's fun for them. They're just so full of this stuff and it's just like non-jaded, fully earnest. They're like having a fucking ball. They're like, even when they're having a shitty time, they're having a ball because they're so invested in having a good time, you know? And it's just like, it's so important and they get to do it and they could become second graders and they're like, oh my God, it's like they've leveled up in a fucking video game. And I'm like, this is great. This is actually a good position for me because this actually makes me care about the work that I do.
Because so this is, as somebody who has known you pretty well, I could tell you that genuinely. That
sounds like bullshit.
No. You genuinely like being a dad. Mm-hmm. You genuinely.
I didn't think I would. Yeah.
I mean, you really have gone through a complete.
Yeah, I farted out the other end of this as like a guy who's like happy with the dad thing.
Yeah,
I know a lot of dads who are not happy, and I think that life has probably got to be hell. You know?
Yeah, I think I'm a different person. I think I have changed, and I'm still coming to reckoning about that. I'm not saying that. I mean, my kids are. Fucking amazing. Like there's this Garrison Keillor, story about how like, you know, every kid is like a gumball coming out, like a random gumball that comes out the chute and you were just the next one in the chute or whatever. Well, I got two amazing fucking random gumballs. So I feel incredibly lucky, but like what has happened because of that, because of this, first of all is, you're a selfish fucker for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
All you care about is yourself. And then when you're fucking crazy like I am, all you spend your time thinking about is like, oh, how am I going to put this thing together and do whatever? But then you prioritize something else in your life because you care about that. You then start evaluating all these other things. Now, that's not to say that, you know, comics and video games and all this other stuff aren't important to you.
No.
You just start saying, okay, well, maybe this thing over here is not as important as this one is because you have to prioritize because you have less time. You have less concentrated time. The other thing is that I have become more, for lack of a better word, capitalist because I am more interested in earning. I never threw elbows. You know, I was more interested in about an opportunity based on could I do something cool? And now I feel like I'm in a place where I am, no, my rate is this.
Yeah. You know, I'm sort of in that position with my agency now. I'm like, if a job only pays like X, right? If it only pays like this number that I've got in my head, that's like, it's just like, by the time I factor in tolls and time and parking and all this shit, and the fact that it's going to like make my wife have to like sort of upend her schedule because she's the major earner, like I'm like, no. Whereas like old me would be like, sure, fucking give me that one and give me three more of them. I'll like, you know, like the numbers will dictate that I will get one of them or whatever. I have no time to play that fucking wide of a net fish game. Like I need stuff that's worth getting out of the house.
I also think it's like empowering in kind of a way, because I feel like, you know,
I wonder if it's false empowering. That's the problem that
hear me out. Yeah,
okay.
So for example, like before someone said, well, the production budget is really tight. We can't pay you much. Oh, that's great. You're going to let me do that. Right now it is, and this is the train of thought, which is, my rate is this. The production is this, and it's still a great opportunity for you to be. And then my mind immediately goes to my kids, and I go, no, you fucking piece of shit. My rate is this.
Yeah.
And it's not me. It's not that I'm willing to be walked on, but I refuse to let people walk on my kids. And so it's sort of this weird, like, reflective that I will take the guns out and start shooting at them, because if they underpay me or put me in a difficult situation, so in a way it makes you stronger. It makes you more defensive.
I think that's correct. I think the, you know, like if you think of your kids, it becomes easier to negotiate in those situations. Well, cause like, I don't know, like I'm talking to a couple different directors, this year, one this year and one last year, about you know, potential you know, the ultra low budget or the low budget feature.
Right.
These are movies that, you know, they sort of, when you look at what it's going to cost you day in, day out, it pays probably a dollar less than minimum wage per hour when you factor in sort of like the amount of work that you're going to do for that day. And then, you know, that's also that somebody else is going to be in charge of taking care of, you know, the whole sun up, sun down sort of features of your kid's life. And you're like, fuck, I'm not in a position right now where I can do these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And you sort of, you know, you enjoy meeting with the director. You enjoy sitting down and talking and having lunch or whatever it is. And you're just like, I can't do this. I can't do it because, you know, like, it's cool. Like you guys have this much money. I can't wait to see your movie. I can't be in it. And I can't be in it. Not just because of the money, but because of all the other things that are going to get sacrificed by taking the gig.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the thing is that in the difference between my career and your career is, and this is why I always think it's a false sense, is that like for you, it's like you have actual marketable skills. Me, you know, until they replace us with like some hot stick figure that, you know, like some tubby dude in Britain has generated. Like
making a virtual influencer or whatever.
A virtual influencer is that like there's a couple more of me, and there's a couple more that look just like me that don't have kids and don't have these problems. So like they'll just go to them, and that's okay. Like, you know, like, and it is because like the art will still get made. I just won't be in it. You know, like the thing is, that if I wait a little while longer, I'll be able to be, the gray haired guy in the next bits. But like, this is like the part where I have to sit on the bench a little bit, and that's fucking hard to acknowledge and like deal with.
Right.
You know,
especially if
you've benching yourself, I think.
Yeah. Benching yourself. What about your sort of creative construction? I mean, like you were just always, like, I feel like every time we hung out in our 20s, you would have another bit ready to go.
Yeah.
You
know,
it was just like something else would be.
I think that's the hard thing, is capturing those creative moments. I was listening to an interview with Terry Gross talking to Tom Waits. Like,
you're so fucking Bay Area.
Such a douchebag, dude. Such a douchebag. But he was talking about how like he was driving in his car and he had like a thought for a song. And you know, he's in his car. He has no place to write it down. He's like, this has happened too many times to him. And he's just like, he looks up because I guess he was talking to God. And he was just like, can you just give me a chance to write this shit down? Cause it's like, you know, you have these funny things that like fart into your head.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I got to remember that. And you're not going to remember that. There's no fucking way you're going to remember that. That just happens even more with kids. Cause you're just like, they say shit that like triggers like some sort of rabbit or squirrel in your head that like chases the bit of cheese and finds it. And it's funny and it's great. And then you're like, oh fuck. I don't know how to use my phone very well. And B, I sort of don't trust it anymore. Cause I'm just like,
but it's
I'm not giving information to my phone.
The idea can't be developed. I'm obsessed with the AI and machine learning stuff like this. I actually wrote a whole series of Nytunes. Like I feel the pressure because like my wife is like, you need to draw our kids more, right? Why isn't there like a Toby tune or whatever? And so I feel that pressure, but then I had this surge of inspiration about Nytune living in an apartment and next door an AI moves in. And I basically came up with this sort of like this floating like HAL character, like 2001 HAL character who came over and he basically masters all the video games. So Recession Bear doesn't want to like play video games with him because, you know, he just beats him every time.
Because he's no fun to play with.
Right, exactly. And so I wrote all this out and I had this like sinking feeling as I was writing this. It was just like, these will never come out. Like there's no way in my life between, you know, going to animate for somebody else and then taking care of my kids.
And then the 2 hours that you got to be driving, you know,
that's true. I got to go back and forth to South Pass. Mm-hmm. Well, before we kill this, like, let's say some good things about fatherhood though. I mean, obviously you can talk happily about it, but you know,
I think it's very easy to be happy about it. And the thing is that like you actually like were a lot of people. And I remember this a lot when I was bartending a lot and I was like going out a lot and I was drinking a lot. Is that is like a thing that is best as a reward. And when you do it all the time, it loses its sparkle and magic. Mm. There's nothing that great about being at a bar and sitting there and eating like fucking fried food and like downing beers like every fucking night of the week or even three or four nights a week. It's just not that great.
Yeah.
This shit is pretty cool because like, I have no idea what my kids are going to ask me. Like you go into a bar, like there's just like, it's like four white dudes who are shouting stats at each other as hard as they can and getting pissed off about some game about these players that don't give a shit about them. But like, they're all like fully invested in that world. I don't know anything about that. You know, you got some people playing darts. You got like, yeah, like a breakup happening. Got some people hooking up and like, I don't know, like that's all fine. But like when I'm sitting down with like both my boys and my wife, like my kids, like my son, Luke, who's second grade now, he'll ask me just rapid fire questions like, and it will launch from like dinosaurs. It will go into Pokemon. It will bounce right into who my favorite big cat is. And then he'll like wrap it back around to like, I love you, Dad. And like, also, will you wipe my ass? Like, it's just like the amount, like he keeps me on my toes in a way where I'm just like, this is what I should be doing. This is sort of magical in a way. Cause I honestly have no, I don't really know what it is that he's going to do next. And I can only hope that like in a way that you're sort of wandering around and sort of spotting a toddler when they're on a playground to make sure that they don't like really fuck themselves up. Yeah. Like it's the same thing with him. And I have a feeling that these are the easy years. Like even though these years seem hard to me because these are the only years that I've known so far.
They're physically exhausting.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got young kids too. They're physically exhausting.
They're physically exhausting, but you're right. When they become 16, they're going to be emotionally exhausting.
Yeah.
But I'm
going to be terrible at it, I think.
And not to get all – I mean, I this is what I do, I guess. I get philosophical on shit. But like I think that – What is kind of reflective of me about having kids is that you spend more time just focusing on them versus focusing on you. And so when you spend all your time focusing on yourself, you come up with a lot of great things and you do a lot of creative things and whatever and blah, blah, blah. But like, if you're actually caring about somebody else, if you've learned to care about somebody else, which you're kind of biologically geared to when you have kids, mm-hmm. I think that makes for a healthier mind in some ways.
That is an excellent point. And that is cogent. And that is on point. Cause that is what it does. It sort of takes the focus off you because I don't know, man, like honestly, like especially when you start caring about other people, especially your kids, you realize that you're fine. Like for want of a better word, I mean like all this existential crisis, all of these fourth tier things, right? Cause the first three tiers are food, clothing, and shelter. All this stuff after that is actually a gift to be able to worry about.
To worry about it in the first place.
Or to be able to worry about it in the first place means you've won in a way that a lot of people in the world have never and will never win.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That is our
segment. Really long.
Really long, but I think it needed to get out. So we're gonna come back. We're gonna do one more quick segment when we get back. Go ahead and listen to some Jen, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Darren and I. Unfortunately, the Zencaster took a dump on us again, and so we lost the final segment of this show. It wasn't terribly interesting. It was just Darren and I bullshitting and talking about the future. I asked you to like us on various social networks and subscribe to us, as well as leaving a comment on iTunes for the show, but I was able to save a small piece of Darren's audio where he does some Sean Connery talking about cock rings. So, of course, that is what we're going to end the show on. Sorry about, you know, the 2 or 3 minutes that you missed, but at least we got the rest of the episode. Hey, that's what happens in podcasts. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. And here's Darren talking about cock rings as Sean Connery.
I forget because I sort of remember that there was like a
what is it? Was he wearing his cock ring? Did he have one on? This cock ring is defective. It's the last one.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.